Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, May 27. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the studios, MoneyWeb Studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Bain McCurry, there is market data galore. I want to touch on those Barloworld, Tiger Brands buybacks, Lewis results and other bids. Michelle Taylor from Theresa on half-year results. Cost pressures are mounting. And some thoughts that snapping profit warning, the consumer's just under pressure, and there's a ton of data to suggest that. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. African Bank buys out Grindrod Bank. African Bank plays in the consumer segment, and with this 1.5 billion rand acquisition of Grindrod Bank, you now also have a business bank. Business day, SA hurtles towards huge price increase in the fuel price with no reprieve in sight. Finance and energy ministers have given an undertaking that they would have some plan introduced in June. TikTok, although there are reports that perhaps that 1.50 rand levy reduction will stay in place. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 2%, NASDAQ up 2.8%. It looks like they're going to break their 7-week losing streak. Asia is green, Sydney up 1%, Tokyo 0.67%. Commodities, green, gold, 1,858. Brent, $114.17 a barrel. Platinum, 942. Palladium, 2,026 an ounce. Rand, 1,566. Top 40 opening call, green open, about 230 points to the upside, little over a third of a percent. That as Tencent trades up 2.3% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony and I with Wayne McCurry. He, of course, is Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the early morning time. I mentioned in the intro, we're seeing some proposed share buybacks, Barloworld, Tiger Brands. I usually don't like share buybacks because far too often the companies seem to do it at the top of the market. But with these two companies, it seems to make more sense.
I think so as well. Look, I prefer to get a dividend and then you can decide what you want to do with your money. So I'm also not a huge fan of share buybacks, but it is still nevertheless a positive sign that the companies have obviously got excess capital. And secondly, they're confident in their own company and they think the share is cheap. So yeah, we'll have to see. But as I said, I still way prefer dividend.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm old school. Give me the cash, put it in my pocket. I will decide what to do with it. Results updates coming galore. I mean, Lewis, they had signaled this to us already, obviously via a trading update. I mean, but they're having a really, really good time. I mean, I always refer to them as a bank with a furniture retailer on the side. Be it as it may, these were good numbers.
No, they were very, very good numbers. But of course, the pressure's mounting now, as you spoke about earlier on. You know, it's going to cost you, unless we get this fuel levy reduction extended, you know, it's going to cost you 1,900 rand to fill up your car, 2,000 rand to fill up your car.
Yeah, I've got a much smaller car, but it's still costing an absolute fortune.
Yes.
I mean, on that consumer, I mean, it is, you know, the petrol price, interest rate increases, inflation coming through. We've seen it with the food producers. It is, and the 350 rand grant is still there for the unemployed, but it is tough being a consumer in this space right now, locally and globally.
Yes, very much so. I mean, overseas is maybe even worse, surprisingly enough, because they've got significantly higher inflation there. And it's not just that, it's food as well. It's right across the board. People are going to have to, suppliers are going to have to increase prices because their margins are coming under huge pressure. Yeah, it's actually a tough environment.
And oil price, and you and I have chatted around the oil price a couple of times, $114 for Brent this morning, which makes no sense. You've commented that the producers don't want that, but it's remaining stubbornly high.
Yes, it is. And there's no shortage of oil. I mean, there might be difficulty getting oil to the market and, you know, from different sources. But, yeah, a more natural oil price is 70, yeah, not 110.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we've been talking around that. It is 70, but for right now, it's not there. African Bank buying Grindrod, $1.5 billion makes a lot of sense. We know that.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah, and Grindrod's been wanting to get rid of assets and the like. It's quite a story for African Bank. I mean, it was just 8 years ago when they went bust. Now, this, of course, is the good bank, but it does give us a new sort of banking phoenix rising, I suppose.
It does, yeah. Look, I never understood why Grindrod went into banking and financial services. That made no sense to me at the time. So I think African buying their business bank, and it's a reasonably modest price. It's obviously not a huge business.
Mm-hmm.
Going into expanding their horizons a little bit and trying to get some corporate business.
Going to back to market, some of the updates. I mean, again, good updates from Old Mutual, but again, with the consumer under pressure, you know, policy sales are going to be under pressure. Lapsed policies are also going to be under pressure.
Yeah, but that's relatively a smaller part of the whole business. I mean, the big part of their business is essentially what the equity market's doing and investment returns. And I know that's come under a bit of pressure lately, but you've had a good equity market, so the earnings should be reasonable because most of the earnings comes from a percentage of assets management and of assets managed.
Okay.
So if the market goes up and you get good returns, life assurers do quite well.
And now markets have held on. I mean, I mentioned the intro. NASDAQ, yes. S&P have had 7 red weeks. It looks like they're going to get a green week finally. But actually, our top 40s, I mean, it's held on. And if we could remove NASPAS and Prosus from it, we're not having as nearly horror a time.
And thank goodness for that. And to be honest, I think that's correct. Our market's not grossly overvalued. It's nothing like the tech shares in America. And of course, they've come under huge pressure. They're down 25-30%, if not more, for certain ones of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we are held up quite nicely by the commodity shares and the banking shares. And, you know, whatever happens in this down cycle with the rising interest rates and rising inflation, it will be less severe on South Africa than previous ones, because the one huge mitigating factor that we've got here is that there's no new wall of supply coming on from the mining companies because they didn't spend any capex. Because normally what happens is in the good years, they spend the capex like crazy. Then as the economy peaks, all of that new supply comes on stream and it exacerbates the downturn quite dramatically. At least we will not have that this time around. So I'm still on a comparative basis. I think we'll carry on like this. I don't think our stock market will come under as much pressure as the overseas markets.
And I mean, I'm looking at the resources index. I mean, it's come back a little, but not a heck of a lot. Commodity prices are a bit lower, but these miners are still making massive profits. I mean, we're still going to see great dividends, great profits flowing.
Correct, yeah. I mean, they've never had such strong balance sheets. I don't know.
Yeah.
Certainly in my lifetime, they've never had as much cash and as strong balance sheets. Look, they've got to start spending their capex because, as I said earlier on, they haven't spent capex for 10 years, if not a little bit longer.
Mm.
So they've got to start spending soon. So the cash pile will come down. But at the moment, they're doing extremely well. And they can at least now, for the first time, afford to do the capex without and then be able to ride out any down cycle. Not previously, they spend the capex, and then when the down cycle comes, they all virtually go bankrupt.
Yeah, and I take your point, and you said it before, those balance sheets of the miners looking better than perhaps absolutely forever. That's Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. That Barlow Warden Tiger Brands share buyback, your thoughts on it at current levels, is it a good idea? I'm with Wayne. Rather give me the cash, but at least they're not doing it at elevated share prices.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Michelle Taylor, COO at Theresa. Results out. It was the half year results which were published yesterday. Michelle, appreciate the early morning time. My sense of the story of the quarter, perhaps more than anything, and there's lots to dive into, but this is a quarter about input cost pressure.
Absolutely, Simon, and good morning to you and everybody on the line. Cost pressure, yes, it's certainly the discussion of the day. And, you know, when I look at the questions I've been asked over the last week by analysts and investors, it's all about costs, how we're going to contain them, and what we see into the next 6 to 9 months, you know, what our thoughts are around inflation. And I think from our point of view, certainly we've seen an increase in costs. It's all about capital discipline, managing those costs, making sure you're turning a dollar over a couple of times, checking into it. But similarly, it's also about increasing commodity prices. And I think the fact that, and what we sustain ourselves through, is the fact that we've got to still have rising commodity prices. In terms of Theresa, we're producing both PGMs and chrome concentrates. While the PGMs have come off a little in the last year, pricing is still stable and solid. And chrome concentrate prices have increased exponentially over the last 6 months in particular. So I heard your previous caller, yeah, and you were talking about the fact that mines have got healthy margins. Yeah, we absolutely do.
You've got healthy margins. You're also in a space to do some capex spend, and you are. I mean, you've got your new assets. This is a Caro's pronounced the Zimbabwean asset. I mean, you've got the space and capacity to do that, and you're doing it into a market of robust pricing.
Absolutely, Simon. I mean, you couldn't have hit it more spot on. For us, yes, that's exactly right. Look, we've approached the Caro project, you know, kind of calmly over the years, done the exploration, looked at some of the studies, made sure that we're making the right investment decisions. And as you said, we're kind of in a perfect storm right now. What really works in our favor is the fact that the Caro project is a large-scale open-pit mine. Mm-hmm. It's low-cost quartile, and all of those things make sense when you're spending capital.
And the PGM prices themselves, I mean, we've still got palladium around 2,000. We've got rhodium sort of 15 to 16,000. As I understand, those markets both still in deficit. Platinum under 1,000, the one market that's not in deficit. But there's still a demand. And I mean, are we starting to see the vehicle manufacturers come back a bit? I know that we were all hoping that we would sort of get the chip shortage out the way, see that demand come. But by pricing, it seems to still be there.
Look, the demand is there. There's no doubt. I think the biggest constraint probably in the automakers right now is the fact that everybody is feeling the pinch in terms of their cost of living. Mm. So the average person is taking a little longer to turn around his car. And so that causes a bit of a delay. And the uptick that I think was expected in production this year is probably a little slower than one would expect. So that's causing a little bit of a subdued price. But having said that, the outlook is still good. You know, we still talk about ESG and carbon emissions, mm-hmm, every single day. And the PGM market is a key commodity into that.
The Russia-Ukraine, because of course that, you know, we started this year thinking it was going to be a year of slowly improving, and we've had left field all over the place. The Russian invasion of Ukraine, one of them. Of course, Russia, a big PGM producer, mostly palladium. Are we seeing any supply constraints coming out of Russia, or are they still managing to sell into the market?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. You know, obviously, there's a lot of discussions around sanctions on Russia and what that may mean. But certainly in one of the articles that I was reading yesterday, it was, well, the supply is still coming out of Russia. There's still a channel, albeit that there's a hesitation out of some of the automakers out of Europe to take up that supply. They do have a market. It is suppressed. It is under pressure. The true extent of that we'll see over the coming months. And I think it's going to be more around sanctions and, I suppose, the emotional guide as to what one thinks is right as a consequence of this war.
Yeah, and I think that's my sense. I mean, it might actually be more self-sanctioning more than anything else, potentially. Turning to chrome, your Vulcan fine chrome plant was commissioned earlier in the year. That's up and running. What sort of capacity are you getting out from it at this point?
So we finalized the construction of that plant at the end of 2021, and we started the commissioning in the beginning of this year. So we're probably at around 50% capacity, and the plant is doing well. We're busy with what's normal in terms of commissioning, and that's optimizing it mm-hmm. and tweaking it to get to the right kind of efficiency levels. So pleased with the results that we're seeing coming through. I'm happy with the yield and the grade that we're producing, and particularly when we're producing into a market that, from a pricing point of view, is just increasing. So Vulcan is key for us. One, it's going to reduce our cost per unit.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, it's going to feed into our market where there's demand.
There is demand. And prices, I mean, you make the note that, I mean, for the period was $175 a ton. It's actually now jumped to $295 per ton. There is massive demand. Is chrome sold on spot, or is it contract pricing?
No, so chrome is typically sold on spot.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the big producers, and we also have a couple of long-term agreements, but the pricing is based on the spot and what the ferroalloy net price is for that month. You know, you might have a weighted average price. And I think what we've seen is inventories reduced in China below what it's been in the last 6 or 7 years. And with the logistics pressures both in South Africa and China itself, I think that's caused a pressure on those inventories. And in terms of their buyer psychology, they're trying to buy up more product because they've got to replenish those inventories, and they're not sure when the shipments are going to arrive.
Okay, and I take your point around logistics, because, of course, PGMs, you know, an ounce of rhodium fits in your pocket, and it's, you know, $16,000. Logistics, I imagine, not much of an issue there. Chrome, I mean, it's by the ton. I mean, this is a bulk commodity, and therefore some logistic challenges.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that is a bulk commodity, and we move a lot of that. And there's no doubt there's been logistics challenges over the last couple of years. We obviously started with the challenges around rail.
Mm-hmm.
That was exacerbated by issues in the different ports in terms of maintenance. And, of course, we've had floods. And the floods have been devastating for the people in Natal as well as for business. So we, from our point of view, we've had to make sure that we are flexible and that we fluid. So we look at multiple ports in terms of where we discharge our chrome, because we have a large volume to dispatch. And we've got good relationships with the transporters. So, you know, I'm thankful to say that certainly in the last quarter, we've been able to move all of our inventory and get it to normalized inventory. Going forward, I think it's going to be a bit more constrained again for everybody, because all commodities are fighting for the space. And I think that, you know, obviously there's a consequence coming out of China as a, you know, the result of their lockdown and what that means. That, you know, the lockdown means that the transporter inland in China isn't transporting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll leave it there. It's Michelle Taylor, COO at Theresa. Appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Friday thoughts. So the consumer, we were chatting there with Wayne McCurry with it. There's data starting to come actually quite thick and fast in the past week that, I mean, is the consumer starting to crack? I mean, make no mistake about it, the consumer is under pressure, both locally and in global markets. There is pressure out there. The petrol price, the under recovery is R2.86. And then if the levy, which we've had at R2.36, the levy was an extra R1.50. But even if that levy stays, petrol goes up by R2.36. That's giant. Data coming out of the US, home sellers are dropping prices. This is the first time we've seen that in 3 years. What we've seen for most of the pandemic is that you put a house on the market and you get offers almost immediately above the asking price. Suddenly prices are dropping. Dollar Tree and Dollar General, who, as the name suggests, sold dollar stuff in their stores, having very good results. And is that an indication of people shopping down, perhaps? Snap Inc., who had a horror profit warning, and that is advertisers who are struggling, who finding it a little bit tougher and therefore saying, we're going to advertise a little bit less, while, but also advertising a little bit less simply because when the consumer's under pressure, and of course the consumer clicking on less adverts because, well, thanks, but they haven't got the money to spend. Walmart, Massmart, Amazon, all saying they might have overstocked and certainly even perhaps even overstaffed. I'm worried about the consumer suddenly coming under massive pressure. We'll start seeing some May data in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to get Evan Walker back from 361. Remember, we chatted with him last year. He was very worried about the consumer. We've been robust, but perhaps we starting to crack. That's it for today. We were chatting food producers yesterday. Tiger Brands, Rhodes Food Group, RFG, as they now call themselves, both showed that input inflation massively hurting. The question was, is this a sector worth looking at, or is it still a space you stay away from? Just over half of you said staying away. And I got to say, I'm with that half. I don't see this inflation pressure going away just yet, particularly in the food input fertilizer diesel space. A little under a quarter each of you said that you were holding and hoping, or perhaps you were nibbling. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. And thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. We're talking Pepkor.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.